Howdy, gamers. Welcome to another wonderful episode of Late Night with Brian Wecht. This week, we have a very special guest slash guests with an S. We've got the band Wolves of Glendale on to join us for a really lovely chat. So up top, I want to do the typical. Hey, do you like the show? Do you want to support the show? Do you want to get weekly minis and access to like 4 years of video versions of the episodes, including the one for this episode that you're about to hear? Patreon.com/LateNight. That's the way to do it. And additionally, if you want to go see Wolves of Glendale on their latest tour, which they're going to be going all over the UK, Ireland, and the United States, please go to wolvesofglendale.com because they're awesome and they put on a great show. And with that housekeeping out of the way, oh my God, it's time for the episode.
Yeah, I should make a producer pack, even though I'm not a producer and I don't know what I'm doing.
No one knows that.
Yeah, don't say that.
Don't say that.
Okay, what, so we want to hear about the very cool item that you have.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
It's an ancient sacred item. Mm-hmm. It has been unlocked and delivered.
It arrived from China to my house a mere moments ago.
And it's worth noting it was ordered on the sacred site madeinchina.com.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Too hot for Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Way too hot.
You couldn't find this anywhere near
Amazon. No, this is custom.
This is custom as all hell.
You got it custom made. I didn't appreciate that before.
Yes. Wow.
Correct.
Yeah. Custom made, essentially floated here on the wings of angels. Mm-hmm. And we have yet to unwrap it. That's how new it is. We're just staring at the wrapped box because we've been too busy.
Who designed it?
But we will unwrap it soon.
If it's custom made, I want to hear. Well, should we say? Well, why don't you say what it is if you want, and then we can.
I want to give it away.
No, we should.
We should definitely give it away. We're going on tour, and the tour is called the Scorpion Train Tour. And so what we did was Google large inflatable scorpion. Uh-huh. And what we found was a 10-foot inflatable scorpion. And you asked how it was custom made. How do we want to describe how this is custom made for us?
Well, I think before we do that, let's just say who you guys are. First of all, this is Late Night with Brian Wecht. My name's Brian Wecht. Over here we have Layden Gray.
Hi, that's me, and I don't own a giant inflatable scorpion.
Not yet.
Would you care to introduce yourselves?
Yes, we are Coldplay. My name is Chris.
And my name is Billy Joe Armstrong.
And then we have Gwyneth over there.
Gwyneth is joining us.
I'm Gwyneth. I own Goop.
And we love Goop here.
We're a goopy band.
We're big fans of Goop.
Woofy Goop Juice.
No, we are the comedy trio Wolves of Glendale, comedy band. And yes, we are going on the Scorpion Train Tour, our second headline tour. We're back. It's bigger.
Maybe say your name.
My name?
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
My name is Ethan Edinburgh.
Cool.
And thank my you. Name is Tom McGovern.
Amazing.
Eric Jackowitz from Florida.
And as I was saying before saying our names, which who the hell cares what our stupid names are?
I care.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
Brian does.
Oh, thanks, Layden. Well, you guys are really nice and kind. But we're going on Scorpion Train Tour. And so, yeah, that is why we ordered this giant golden customized inflatable scorpion, which we're really excited about.
The stock scorpion is black. It's just like a Halloween style black, you know, type. And then they sent, I don't know how many pattern options, but we were also pretty set on gold. And sure enough, the woman that we were talking with sent an example and we said, print it.
And could you specify the size or did it just come in one size?
9.8 feet.
It's pretty tall.
It's nearly 10 feet, Brian.
That's bigger than Michael Jordan.
That's slightly under a basketball hoop.
To be clear, that's the length of the scorpion, right? Not the height?
We don't know the height.
We actually don't know. But that is the length, isn't it?
It is the length.
Like stinger to pincer.
Height is unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Stinger is tall.
Now, because actually, I'm going to speak from experience here. Did you order more than one? Because
no.
Uh-oh.
You're about to go on tour with an inflatable item. And Brian, let me just say, for our 10th anniversary show, the whole show culminated, in a battle with a guy in an inflatable dinosaur costume. And this was our friend and now yours, JP, who came out in this costume. And in our big 10th anniversary show, the last thing that happened is this head did not inflate, the T-Rex head. And he just walked on stage in this floppy dinosaur head that we had to like fake punch for a while. And it actually turned out to be the greatest thing possible in that moment because it looks so fucking stupid.
Right.
But
it's awesome.
Yeah. So
I said that I care about you guys' names, and that was a lie, because what I really care about now is, what are you naming the scorpion?
That's a great question, because I've been thinking about this too.
Solid question.
And I don't know. I don't know, but I think it's a she.
Great.
Nancy Sinatra or
Nancy
identifying.
I think Bessie is a little too classic.
Yeah. It sounds like Nessie too, like the Loch Ness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Consider that, you know, that scorpion is probably going to look like it crawled straight off of Ryan Reynolds' jacket in Drive. You know,
yes.
Drive 2011 is a film.
Ryan Gosling.
Did I say Ryan Reynolds? God.
You did.
Yes, you just have Deadpool on the mind.
Honestly, Drive with Ryan Reynolds might be a better movie. Like, I would maybe actually like that movie then.
Layton
That's a good
hates
call.
Drive.
That would be sick, actually.
I do hate Drive.
So, are you suggesting we should name it something with a Drive pun? Like Winona Driver, or like...
it's pretty good.
Immediately great.
Baby Driver, of course.
Baby Driver.
Or maybe just Gretchen.
Sure.
Or Gwyneth.
Gwyneth is very good.
Gwyneth is pretty good.
Gwyneth, the golden scorpion.
Sounds like fancy and nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Gwyneth is solid.
I mean, she's elegant.
Would you spell it the normal way? G-W-Y-N-E-T-H?
Yeah, the normal way. G-W-Y-Z-F-O-O-O-Q.
Exclamation point.
I think we need to be like good parents, and we need to meet her first.
Oh,
we
yeah.
need to inflate uh-huh. the scorpion. Yeah. We need to have a conversation and
yeah,
see
it's
what
like
the
naming
vibe
a car.
Is.
Like, you can't name the car before you drive the car.
Right.
Right. By just looking at it online.
Yeah, we got to blow up the scorpion in the middle of Eric's living room on Instagram Live, and yep. then we'll find a name for it.
I like
yeah.
this a lot. And can I give you another piece of tour advice that I would
Please.
Do if I were you?
We need it.
Last show, sign it and sell it.
Oh.
Whoa.
That's pretty good. The only thing is, we kind of want to do a scorpion train tour, part two, like leg two. And
yeah,
if we do that,
order another one.
That's not
sell
bad.
It for thrice the price.
Thrice
this
the
is
price.
What we would do on NSP tours is because I wanted like a nice full length digital keyboard to play. We would buy it at the first show of the tour, cart it around the bus, and then to avoid shipping it back. All sign it and then sell it on the last thing. And it's like, you know, we wouldn't auction it off. We just have a price, first come, first serve. And it like, it always went. And one time I like cut my finger on stage during it. So I had my blood
Ooh.
All over it, which was
price
really
goes
fucking
way
cool.
Up with Brian.
Yeah.
That's metal.
Hell yeah. Right.
That's metal as shit.
I thought you were going to sell vials of your own blood.
Oh, I wish.
At the merch stand.
At one point I started bleeding, so I left stage and connected myself to an IV, and I bagged as much of my blood as I could.
And sold it.
And we sold it for $300 a bag.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Have you guys ever debated selling bathwater? I've thought about this, but I wonder if it's some kind of like FDA violation.
It feels like it'd be so much water, too.
Yeah, gotta be honest, I've never considered that.
I don't really bathe.
I mostly shower.
What we mm-hmm. could do.
Well, Brian loves to soak.
I do love to soak. I'm a big soaker.
You.
He's a schwitz.
I love a jacuzzi, so similar mm-hmm. vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would do Wolves of Glendale jacuzzi water.
Wolves of Glendale used jacuzzi
good.
Water.
Yeah.
That's pretty
do
good.
Do not drink.
Do not drink.
Do not attempt to drink.
Unless you want superpowers.
Yeah, unless you want to be like Space Jam, like that scene when they all drink the water in the locker room.
Did some YouTuber, I mean, multiple people have done the sell the bathwater thing, haven't they?
Yeah.
First I'm hearing of this, but I believe you guys.
Yes, I've heard of this.
Yeah, I had not.
And like toenail clippings as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Underwear.
Farts.
Little hair effigies, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, crazy gross.
I would like to hear about this deep red hoodie. That you're wearing.
Yes. Oh, here we go. Turn it
it's,
up.
It's
Absolutely.
A, it's a
Love
very
Deep
nice
Red.
Hoodie.
Deep Red is one of my favorite films. Profondo Rosso.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Giallo fanatic.
Is that your favorite Giallo?
Honestly, this was served to me on Instagram, and I was like, you nailed me, algorithm, and I bought it way too quickly.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Are you a fan of Dario Argento?
I'm a big Argento fan. I've still not seen Profondo Rosso, so excited to see the hoodie.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's his best.
It's up there, yeah.
Okay. All right. I think the last one I watched was Phenomenon, which is a curveball.
Is that the one with the writer?
No, that's Tenebrae.
Oh, Tenebrae.
Isn't that a John Travolta film?
Phenomenon?
Yes. Am I making that up?
Oh, yeah. Phenomena is
the sequel.
The American title for what was called Critters in Italy. Stars a young Jennifer Connelly. She's 13, and she can talk to bugs.
Yeah, the bugs are pretty great.
But that is not the movie that we know as Critters here, which is a different franchise.
Wait, Donald Pleasance is in it?
Donald Pleasance is... Yes, he plays a entomologist whose assistant is a monkey.
Love that.
And he's in a wheelchair, and so the monkey helps him out with stuff, and he points like a little laser pointer.
Yeah, very normal movie.
What do we call Phenomena?
But this is not...
Yeah, we call it Menomina.
Menomina.
It's not Monkey Shines, An Experiment in Fear, which is a separate film.
No, it's
right?
not Monkey Shines, and it's not Outbreak.
Right.
Yes. This is a monkey, and he finds a scalpel and becomes a monkey with a weapon, essentially. Mm-hmm. And he sort of goes on... I don't want to spoil it, but he does go on a bit of a murderous rampage in the movie.
And the name of our next studio album will be A Monkey with a Weapon.
Yeah.
Monkey with a weapon.
Spree.
Chimpanzee spree, dude. What?
Yes.
Brian, home run.
Brian's
Thank
hired.
You very much. That's what
Amazing.
I do.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, I think when I watched Phenomena, I was as a double feature with Chopping Mall.
That's a good one.
Which is a real treat.
Chopping Mall?
Yes, an incredible American 80s B movie where a bunch of kids get stuck in a mall. They're locked in, but the mall has a new security system that's robots that can kill you.
I love this.
Yes.
And it's great. Yeah. It is exactly what you want it to be. It's really
good. I want to see that ASAP. That's a good tour movie, probably. Can watch that on tour.
Yes.
Okay.
The cool thing that like the teens in that movie are doing to hang out is staying overnight in a mall and all fucking in a bed store.
Yes.
You know, the thing that teens do.
Yes.
Yeah, classic teen move, yeah.
That's what me and my friends would always do. Sneak into the mall and go to sleep in the stores.
And Amelie's.
Or have sex in the same big room.
Yeah. In
Sealy's.
Yeah. In a Journeys.
Yeah, in a Journeys, right.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll go to Spencer's and try to get laid.
Yeah. In the blacklight room.
I have an important question for you all.
Mm-hmm.
What are each of your favorite places in Glendale?
Ooh.
That's an easy one for me.
Wow.
Well, I think we need to, for people who don't know, what is Glendale? Let's start there, because some people are not familiar with the Los Angeles area. So describe Glendale to an outsider.
It's known as the Jewel City. Glendale is northeast of Los Angeles, and it's actually a really huge area. There's a lot of places that are like La Crescenta, for example, which is another whole area.
It stands for, it's croissant in French.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. We'll see you.
It's an expansive area, but it's very, you know, it's like suburban, quiet, lots of parks, little parks, and I think that's what we all loved about it. It's quaint.
I think there's something important to mention here, which is that Glendale has one particularly important establishment/experience. And of course, I'm referring to the Americana.
Yep. Felt that coming.
The G, as I like to refer to it as.
Yes, the Galleria and the Americana, an incredible place to shop, see movies, walk around, enjoy time with your loved ones.
I no longer live in Glendale.
Enjoy the music of Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. I used to live like a 15-minute walk from the Americana, and after a busy day, I would walk from my door and I would just take like 3 laps around the fountain and I'd just like turn my phone off.
Fly with me.
Exactly. I would go to See's Candy and I would get a vanilla lollipop and I would enjoy the lollipop and take 3 or 4 laps around the fountain and listen to some Frankie and get back to work. Yep.
Do you guys know anyone that has ever lived there? I know one person that
lived
like
in
the
apartments
Americana.
Upstairs?
Yes.
No.
Yes. I don't know someone that has lived there, but there was a time where me and my now wife, then girlfriend, were looking for like auditions and stuff like on Craigslist and just like random stuff to do with extra time. And mm-hmm. we found this one that was shooting at one of the apartments at Whoa. The Americana. And so we were like, well, we don't know anything about this. It doesn't pay very well, whatever. But we need to know what it looks like in these places that we walk by all the time. And we went yes. and it was a hellhole. It was,
really?
It
I believe
was
that.
Like not very well, but I think it's the fault of the owners of the place who are crazy people. And the sketch made no sense that they were trying to shoot, and it involved a live chicken. It was basically like they were pretending like we were at a Benihana's and they were going to kill
an apartment?
A live chicken. Yes. At the apartment. And so now wow. we forever, you know, connect that experience with like, God knows what people are doing at this Americana yeah. place.
Well, luckily you can just go down to See's Chickens and get a chicken for the
yeah.
sketch.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I would go, whenever I needed to blow off steam, I would go to See's Chicken.
Yep.
Get a whole chicken. And eat yep. it and walk a few laps around the G.
Yeah. 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 Work off
and
the chicken.
And the Sprinkles actually has a chicken vending machine. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's amazing.
You get a broiled chicken for right. $16 at a vending machine. It's awesome.
Quarter
That's
in. That's
Glendale.
Goes plop. That's Glendale. That's what Glendale is.
Well, wait.
That's
Glendale. Because I want to very quickly just give shout outs because you asked our favorite establishments in Glendale. Well, yes. We have a few. So Fish King has to be mentioned. We all love Fish King.
Dude. Yes, Fish King is the best. I
That's
love
That's the
Fish
only
King.
Number one option. That's the one at the top.
Well, I would say a close two would have to be Da Juice Bar.
Oh, Da Juice? Above Highlight.
DA Juice Bar for
wow,
me.
That's bold.
You can go there and get great wraps, sandwiches, juices, smoothies. It's unbelievable. And then, of course, yes, Tom Bones is correct. Highlight Coffee, which is also in Glendale mm-hmm. and rules.
If I could circle back to Da Juice Bar for 1 second, their breakfast burrito
Please.
Is made with mashed potatoes, which is a real dark horse in the breakfast burrito landscape.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well
yeah.
said.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love the Brand Library.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would work there often and write, and it's this great arts library that's in an old mansion by the fellow that used to own all
yes.
of Glendale in like the 20s.
Yep.
This is the one that's on the top of the little hill in the
yes.
park.
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
That's right.
And there's an incredible hike above it that's short but intense mm-hmm. and really fun.
Yeah, that library is great. It's such a cool old building feel. It's got this like kind of living roomy vibe. You know, I really, really like it. Yeah, Glendale, I feel like is the subject of some mockery, but actually seems like a pretty great place. I know a lot of people that have lived there and love it.
It's sort of the Nickelback of cities.
Yeah, it's like you can make fun of it all you want.
Well
but,
said, Eric.
But then, you know, you listen to How You Remind Me, and guess what?
Yeah. You know all the words.
And then you go to their concert, and there's 10,000 people here.
Yeah, they sell out SoFi.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so laugh at that.
Right. Easy to make fun of, but then you eat a fish taco from Fish King,
yeah.
and you go,
Shut your
I'm
mouth.
An idiot.
Yeah.
We
Shut
bought
your mouth
hats
real
there,
quick.
Actually.
The poke there is really solid.
It's amazing. Yeah,
it's all solid.
Probably get that once a week, my dog.
Yeah, it's the best. Oh, hold on. I just got a message from UCLA Health.
Read it out loud.
Okay.
Your test results are back and they don't look good.
Let's see. Oh, I have a new message in the My Chart.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Been there, brother.
All right. Well, I'll get on that as soon as possible.
We can just diagnose you. If there's something going on, you can describe
yeah.
it in detail. We'll
yeah,
tell Wolves you what it is.
Yeah, we're doing telehealth next year.
Doctors of Glendale.
Yeah.
I like this a lot.
We've partnered yeah. with ZocDoc.
Yeah, streaming numbers, you know, aren't what they used
like
to be.
I feel like we've committed about 12 HIPAA violations already on this
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah.
So I think
that's the draw. That's the selling point.
Yep.
Are you tired right. of your doctors following the rules?
Yes.
Yeah, come to Wolves of Glendale.
I think that advertising budgets are definitely shrinking with podcasts. And I think mm-hmm. more brand, natural, organic brand integration is going to be the next step.
No doubt.
And so I think ZocDoc will probably just partner with various influencers and then they could diagnose you.
Right.
What is your dream sponsorship? Like someone reaches out to Wolves of Glendale. Because I'll tell you, with NSP, no one's even come. I don't think anyone has ever thought the thought, We should get NSP to advertise this. No, we've never had anyone reach out for anything for any reason.
Everyone's very foolish.
You literally got an email yesterday from a sex toy company saying that you should partner. So I don't know what you're talking
those
about.
That was spam for
damn.
Sure.
Damn.
You got catfished.
Yeah.
Dream brand collab for Wolves of Glendale.
Should we say personal and band?
We say just band. I mean, we got to, you know, what's, okay. What does Wolves of Glen, you know, I like this question.
I have two that come to mind. One, popcorners.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
We eat a ton of popcorners on the road.
Our most consumed snack on the road.
Yeah.
Easily. Mm-hmm. We could each crush a party size bag.
Family size bag of
no
kettle
problem.
Corn popcorners.
Two, mm-hmm. I personally think that we should all be outfitted by the brand Grimici.
I don't know Grimici.
They're
what
a climbing
is
pants brand. And mm-hmm. I recently bought a jacket from them. I love Grimici.
That's a personal one for Eric.
Yeah, that's personal.
Yeah, I think we should all have Grimici, and we should all be a Grimici band.
I think if anything, it's mm-hmm. got to be like a jumpsuit, because jumpsuits are like the thing. It should be like Dickies.
Yeah, like a track
yeah suit. Dickies jumpsuits yeah. make sense to me.
Dude, if Dickies made like a signature series that they sold on their website, boom. A Wolves of Glendale custom-made fitted jumpsuit.
That's what I'm talking about.
That would mm-hmm. be so sick.
What's the brand? So our friends Twerp got Sweatsitos. That's what they're called.
Twerp's great.
Custom-made Sweatsitos, which are monogram tracksuits in their colors.
I gotta check
that out.
Yeah,
they wear them on tour all the time.
That sounds cool.
We're definitely rocking the Dickies jumpsuit for this next tour, but I do think 2025 we will need a jumpsuit upgrade of some sort.
Definitely
something with mm-hmm. lasers on it.
Either lasers or velvet
or smoke machine,
you know,
in the shoulders.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
fire.
Something upgrade.
My dream sponsorship is Gushers.
Yeah,
I think
that's awesome.
NSP present or Gushers presents
NSP
Ninja Sex Party. Right,
that's really good.
That sounds really cool. Yeah, that would be sick.
Yeah, it does sound cool. That's exactly the word
Ninja
I would use
sex
to describe
Gushers.
It.
Does
cool.
to me. I mean,
yeah. When was the last time you ate Gushers, Brian?
Well, it depends what you mean by that, but the candy probably a couple weeks ago.
Would you call it candy?
Definitely.
Yeah. Right?
I would call it a snack.
It was packed into school lunches
yes.
growing up.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's
not a treat.
Yeah, I would consider it like a fruit snack.
It's candy adjacent, though,
it's
right?
It's definitely. I mean, now...
It's sweet as hell, but I would say fruit in the dessert oeuvre is not... is, you know, it's on the fringes.
It's not fruit.
I think it's candy if you're going by like movie theater kids snack rules, where now you can't get like Reese's Pieces or whatever. They're like, here's Welch's fruit snacks, child.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. They sell Welch's at AMC in the checkout lane.
Yes, but I wouldn't say
they certainly do.
Candy.
It's definitely, I would say in adulthood, in retrospect, it's definitely a candy. It's a sugar-filled soft packet filled with liquidy sugar juice.
Yeah.
That's candy.
Yes.
That's got
Yeah, that's right. Well, I even think of fruit roll-ups as pretty much candy, right?
Yes, the fruit part of that
for kids
is like they're trying to disguise it. It's a candy.
I was never allowed 100%. To eat that stuff growing up. My mom never bought that for us.
My mom bought too much.
Really?
Yes. It was a problem. We had candy constantly, Oreos constantly, Coca-Cola always in the fridge.
Wow.
It was a problem.
Wow.
I've mentioned this on the show before, but my every night as a child, probably from ages roughly 5 through 10, I would have a Slim Jim and a glass of warm milk.
That's,
what a combo.
That's psychotic.
Crazy
I love it.
Combo.
And that's, yeah.
I love imagining you.
I
like,
didn't dip them. I didn't dip them, though.
Thank you for specifying. Like,
oh, yeah. You don't want that spicy
holding
milk water.
And eating a long Slim Jim, like a very long Audrey Hepburn type cigarette.
Well,
with
I did put it
glass
in a
milk.
Cigarette. I had a cigarette holder that I would stick the Slim Jim into.
Right.
So
breakfast
at
Slim Jiminy's.
Yeah, we know that old tale.
Brian, why and how was the milk warm?
We had this device called a microwave that
we
used
microwave
to warm
a glass
the milk.
Of milk.
So you purposefully wanted the milk warm.
I mean, cookies
so
with hot milk is pretty good.
Always have cold milk.
I was told, and I feel like this is a thing a lot of people are told, at least as kids, that a glass of warm milk has kind of sleep enhancing, like it'll makes you tired. Now, this might be complete bullshit, but this is what I always learned. And so I think, because I wasn't a great sleeper, I'm still not a great sleeper, but as a kid I just became this habit of like, oh, that's how you go to sleep, is you have a glass of warm milk and a Slim Jim and then you drift off into slumberland.
So wait, a Slim Jim is not a dream sponsor for NSP?
Oh, that would be good, actually.
Yes, yeah, right. Smoked meat stick.
Come on, that's like right on brand for you guys.
And kind of on brand
Snappy
for them.
Slim Jim.
Yeah, exactly.
They feel really silly as a brand.
Ninja Slim Party.
Come on.
I do like that. Yeah, I'd like that.
Jimja Slim Party.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah, take out my one, the one thing in the band title that's me.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And replace it with Jimja.
Jimja.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, like that can be your bit now is that you have your mask and you have a little hole in it that you can shove your Slim Jim into.
You're the Slim Jim hole. You're the classic Jimja.
Yeah, and then one time in the middle of every show, you have a glass of warm milk and fall asleep.
Yeah, and I consume it Flashdance style in the middle of the show.
Ninja narcolepsy party.
I do think that one of the funniest things you can do is feed people stuff or be fed stuff consistently, right?
That scares me.
Oh, yeah. No, it's terrifying. That's the point.
This is a cornerstone of Brian's comedy.
Yeah, indeed.
Being terrifying.
Being stuff. Fed, yeah. Food-related bits.
Hooking people out with meat.
Force-feeding people, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I don't know why, like, hot chocolate is hot milk.
So is a latte.
Yeah, and so is a latte and stuff. But for some reason, the concept of just putting cold milk in a glass and then heating it up in a microwave like freaks me out.
but chocolate
the
milk
skin
is cold.
On the top.
And you can get a steamed milk. This is not too uncommon, right?
It's very common.
It's just it works both ways.
It does. It totally does.
Chocolate milk is great when it's cold. Hot chocolate is great when it's warm. What do you want?
Yeah. I feel like we would be, look, this is somewhat a meeting of the minds here. We have a bunch of comedy musicians in a room. We got to talk, the fans demand that we talk a little bit about process and our music and things like this, right? If we pass up on this opportunity, we'll be disappointing the Legion of Skanks, which is what we call the fans of this show. So one thing I want to, so I was thinking, I was listening to, as I do frequently, your guys' stuff and kind of like, what is the difference between your sound and a Ninja Sex Party sound and style of comedy and this sort of thing? And it occurred to me that one of the main things, I think one of the big differences in our music is you guys tend to go pretty plot heavy with songs in a way that we don't. And that's not a value judgment. It's just listening to the different
judgment.
Types
yeah,
of
sure
stuff.
Sounds it's, like look, it, Brian.
Plot heavy songs are worse, but that's not, I'm not saying that here. But I was curious, is that like an intentional choice or is that just kind of the stuff you find yourself writing?
I feel like it happens kind of naturally for us. And it was kind of, what's crazy is it was an unspoken thing from day one. The first song we ever wrote together was Vaping in Vegas.
Great song. That, which is the first song of yours I ever heard. Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you, Brian. We sat down with this little musical motif and all of a sudden we just started like pitching ideas about this guy, this like real piece of shit guy that like, you know, moves to Vegas after.
Leaves his family.
Yeah, leaves his family. And it was just so funny to us to write and tell this, make up this imaginary story about this imaginary person.
I feel like it always unfolds as we're writing it. So the way you're hearing it is the sort of the way that we came up with it. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, wouldn't it be funny if this happened right after this, and then this happens, and then this happens, and this happens? Well, how can we elevate this thing that just happened?
Right. Because that's what's so great about your songs is it's just like constant left turns into like, whoa, we're over here now? Fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what makes them so interesting.
Yeah, sort of like telling sort of an interesting story, you know, where it's like...
Story songs, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's also what just makes any good movie really intriguing is the disbursement of information, whether it's a comedy or a horror or a drama or anything. So I think that's kind of what guides us when we're writing stuff is like, okay, we know all of this until now, and then if we drop this piece of information, that changes the whole game and is very exciting and unpredictable, and so it makes people lean in. So I think, yeah, just any new information is always nice.
Yeah, and I think it is pretty distinctive to your style too. Like I was trying to think of other bands that do that kind of like, oh, we're telling a real story here and the comedy is what's happening in the story, and I think that that's somewhat unusual in comedy music.
Yeah,
yeah. Some other ones that come to mind are like We're Weird Al's Albuquerque.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
It's an 11-minute epic tune. But also, I mean, I think the biggest one is like Tribute, which sure. is just them telling the story about how they wrote this song.
Right.
Right. Yep.
You know? And then, yeah, just it just escalates.
I think we also just have like an awareness or maybe even a paranoia about the audience getting bored, and we don't want that to happen. So we're like, what about this? What about this? You know, right. What about if this right. thing happened? You like that? So I think that's yeah. also part of it, maybe too.
Yeah, and it's the same thing in the latest single too, right? It's a story about the horse and. You know what happens after you get yeah.
a guy that's fed up with his 9-to-5 and he wants to make a change.
One thing I didn't listen to is the radio edit of Ricky. So what's the difference between Ricky and the radio edit?
So that was a conscious choice because we do have a lot of young fans, and I mm-hmm. do get sometimes, like, you know, we'll get messages from parents being like, I want to play this song in the car. They love this song all the time, but, you know, you guys Dude. Drop the F-bomb or whatever. And so,
tell me about it.
I'm yeah. sure you yeah. guys get that too.
Yeah. So when mm-hmm. we were recording this song, because we all agreed, like, there's certain moments that are just straight up funnier to us and when we play it live that have cursing. But then it was like, well, while we're in the studio, it'll take us 10 seconds to just replace
yeah, friggin'.
Some of these words. Yeah, with friggin' or with, you know, there's a line where Eric says,
sold it for the horse, fuck.
Right, yes. I've where's my car? I sold it for the horse, fuck. And then in that moment, he says, dang it.
I said, dang it.
On the...
Which also becomes like it's equally funny in yeah. Eric's delivery, and we wouldn't have found that if we weren't trying to accommodate a younger demographic, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And now you can have a bunch of four-year-olds going, dang it. And that's great.
Do you know the famous censored cut of Repo Man? Have you ever seen this?
No.
Do you know Repo Man, the movie?
Yes.
For the TV version forever, some maniac did the overdubs for the censored version. And so, for example, instead of motherfucker, they say melon farmer.
Melon farmer.
There are lines in it like, flip you flipping melon farmer. And it has gotten a life of its own because someone was just like, I'm having fun with this, and replaced... And arguably is better and funnier than the uncensored movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps, etc.
Yeah, right.
And I will say, I do think there is something to that just overall. Like, yep. you know, we'll curse, obviously, in our songs, and sometimes it's warranted. But we do have often a conversation of like, okay, obviously we can say fucking shit here, but... Can we brainstorm real quick and find the funnier, you know, because everyone knows what we're saying, but is there yep. a funnier way to say it?
Yep, 100%. Yeah, we have exactly those same conversations because you don't want it to become a crutch, right? A comedy crutch that you're just swearing and people are like, oh, they said fuck, what? And when deployed right, they can be very, very funny, but you don't want it to be the go-to thing that kind of takes the place of thinking about the
exactly
the comedy.
That's
if you had to boil it down, what's the NSP process?
In songwriting in general, you mean?
Yeah, or ethos, well, or
it's changed a lot over the years. You know, we're in year 15 now of being a band, and what it is now is so we more often than not, we'll have a title in mind when we start writing. We have a Google document, which is I think about 75 pages of stupid song ideas, just titles, which are 99.999% bad. And just do, you know, no human being should ever read them or see them or much less turn them into songs. But they're just years of brain dumps. You know, I scoured every email we'd ever sent to each other and just put them all into a thing. And so we'll kind of scroll through and be like, oh, that sounds like a fun one to work on today. Then Jim Roach, who is actually the guy that introduced me to you originally.
Smart guy.
But sent me the song. And I reached out to you. And did you hang out with him at one point? I can't remember.
No, I would never. I would never hang out with a fan.
You zoomed him. he and I will start coming up with some musical ideas, and Dan will often go leave to do vocal warm-ups, and then we'll come up with a few ideas, and then we'll all get together and start batting around lyrics, and then it just kind of evolves from there. That's the typical way it goes, more often than not.
Wow.
So you guys have like a secret third member.
Yeah, well, because the big evolution for us was getting a producer and co-writer. Jim, you know, for the first three albums we did, it was just me and Dan, and effectively did not have a producer. And then we distributed everything through CD Baby for a while for our first few albums. And our rep there was like, hey, I know this guy, does comedy music. I think you guys really hit it off. Introduced us, this was Jim, and we really hit it off. And he saw exactly, like, he was already a pretty accomplished guy at that point, had an Emmy for the, he did the Girl You Don't Need Makeup song from Inside Amy Schumer. And, you know, knew what he was doing and saw a band that was like needed development, like needed someone who knew what they were doing to actually make the recordings and could level up, you know, from a variety of perspectives. So adding him like took us from we have funny ideas and can write decent songs to now we have a guy who knows how to actually record them and make them better from a production standpoint.
Right, only strengthens the bones of the song to make it, you know, more genre heavy and just like sell the ideas more.
And you guys, 100%. Really, the production is so clean. It sounds so good.
Thanks.
Parents House specifically is like, it's crystal. It's really
thank
great,
you.
Man.
Yeah, that was, I mean, we wrote that with Jim.
Yeah.
And we're also very lucky to have, you know, these guys, TWRP, that we play with a lot and use as session guys. And those, you know, to me, Parents House, I love that song, maybe my favorite NSP song, and it just is made by the bass on that song, which is Commander Miatch from Torp, who that is you were listening to one take of that song.
No
with
way.
Him it's not the Beast. Only take he did, but we just used an entire take because he just was in the pocket and he was just crushing it. It's like, fuck it, that's the one.
Sick. Nice. And the guy who referred you guys to Jim gets 20% or
Finder's Fee, the CD Baby.
He got 20% fired by CD Baby and is now doing other stuff.
Salary 80% promoted.
Yeah. A very sweet guy that honestly, we, you know, it. I didn't even think about this until you said it right now. Like, I personally owe a lot of my career now to this one dude who just sent an email, which was like, hey, let me connect you guys.
It's awesome.
Right? Yeah. Very sweet guy. Shout out to, he did not actually get fired, Ben Hubbard, at formerly of CD Baby, who was responsible for a big game changer for
shout
me.
Shout out to Ben. Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
R.I.P.
Ben.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, speaking of clean production, something I'm always really impressed with you guys' stuff is that I think you have like social media and video production stuff just like down. I think
a lot
of people have a hard time with that, and you guys' edits are so perfect. They elevate the songs. Like, I'm curious about what your process on those decisions are, because that whole realm of like video editing, completely not in my wheelhouse. It's like magic to me.
You're talking about our social media stuff or the music videos?
Both, honestly.
Oh, okay.
The music videos, got to give a shout out to Ben Joyner, who directed the ones that are really cool looking, Olivia, Loud Ass Connor. And then Forever Holiday, who produced them, which is a production company that our buddies run. So without them, we would truly never have those awesome videos, which essentially started our band together. Like, those are the first ones released. And then social media stuff, a lot of it is because of Tom. Tom, you know, was a very successful solo guy before we even met Tom.
R.I.P.
And R.I.P. to Tom.
R.I.P. to me.
And so, you know, when we got together, we knew that that was like a huge thing. Like, we have to be, you know, posting on socials and trying to get, you know, views and all that stuff. And so we were like, Tom, you do this. What do you got? You got an idea? Like, let's do it. And it's been incredible to have that.
People have been sending me your videos for years. Like,
oh, no way.
Independent. Oh yeah. Like, you know, people, you really like this kind of stuff. Just random texts. I'm like, I know that guy.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So wait,
one of
how
his
do you,
many superpowers.
Wolves of Glendale and Brian, how did you guys connect?
Jim Roach.
Oh,
Jimmy.
Slim Jim.
Yep.
Slim Jim.
We got,
I think he just sent us a random email. Right?
Is that what happened?
I can't remember.
I think that's what it was. I think he heard Vaping in Vegas and was like, man, these guys are great.
I think that's right, actually.
Just sent an email.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then we went to base camp together, right?
We went to base camp in Burbank together just to hang out. Yep.
Yeah, which is great.
And then just stayed in touch.
And NSP has always been like, because modern day musical comedy, there aren't many bands that are really doing it at the level that y'all are doing it, and that want to be doing it, and pride ourselves. Like, there's a standard, and you guys are in the conversation with Tenacious D and Concords.
Thanks.
Like, Burnham, like, you're all in that tier. And so, like, we've known about Ninja Sex Party for ages, especially 15 years. That's like, that's a fucking triumph. Like,
it's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So it was cool to finally be able to, like, you know, talk to you and know that you're like a great dude too. Like,
oh, thank you.
Nice people.
No, I mean, that's such a nice compliment. I think I told essentially the same thing to you as well. Like, the thing I noticed about you guys is the music sounds fucking great. And this was always our goal in NSP, is like, write good music that also is funny. And we didn't want to do the, you know, three chords with an acoustic guitar thing that is kind of a cliche in comedy music. And when that's great, it's great. But, you know, we wanted to do something a little more elevated. You know, I have a jazz background. Like, let's use some interesting chords and stuff. And the moment I heard Vapin' in Vegas, the first song I heard from you guys, I was like, oh, yeah, they have the same philosophy, which is like, let's make good music. The difference, I think, with you guys is you knew what you were doing more than we did. Like, if you listen to that first NSP album, we have no idea what the fuck we're doing. Like, it's very clunky and kind of amateurish, I think, in a way that is fun, but it is not like a well-produced, clean album. Like, it's, you know, we were kind of doing the best we could given the recording skills we had at the time. But you guys came out of the gate because you're also, you know, you have a lot of experience and have been doing this in other capacities for a while. So coming, Wolves of Glendale was not your first project.
Yeah, right. Definitely just, yeah. And, the result of, exactly. Doing comedy music for years separately and then coming together as a, I would say super group, but it's really like a big crap group, a poop group,
mm-hmm. big stinky turd group.
Yeah. Big poop group, if you will.
yeah.
coming together, you know, for the first time after many times of doing it. I think that's what helped out.
And playing in serious bands for many years. And I think all three of us at one point were just like, we're going to be legitimate, serious musicians.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I still will be one day.
Yeah. One thing I like, too, is, I guess traditionally in the music industry, you hear stories about people being assholes. And I know a bunch of comedy musicians from just being in the world for a while. And it very much feels like a rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. We're all rooting for each other. It's like, hey, how can we help each other? You know, we're all trying to do the same thing in slightly different ways, but with the same goal of like, write good music. And I love that it really does feel like a community of like pretty fucking awesome people that are all eager to help each other's out. We had, I don't know if you guys know Psycho Stick, a really good comedy band as well, like a comedy metal band.
Whoa.
Who've been around longer than we have.
You got to look that up.
Looking it up right now.
Yeah, look, they're really great.
Great name.
And they've been around forever. We had them on the show.
Similar affinity for hot dogs.
yes. Been around for a while. I think they're past 20 years maybe even at this point.
Dude, I've never heard of this band. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Can't wait to check
this
out.
I the numbers I can only count to four does look familiar.
12 million streams. That's crazy.
We're going to check this
out. Song called
out.
Beer, 10 million streams.
Beer is a really good one. Beard, Grow a Beard, or whatever that one's called. That's a really good one.
I feel like you guys would get along really well. Like, when I think about the times that we've had groups of people on the show, like, they all came on as a group with the same mic setup, and I think that you guys would be very sympathetic.
Yeah,
we'll have to reach out to them. That's cool. Yeah, yeah. Can't wait to hear that.
I will introduce you guys, because they're buds as well, and super sweet guys.
Hell yeah.
I feel like they would also get along really well with Viper Club.
Yes, Viper also Club? Viper Club.
Does everyone have a cooler fucking band name than us?
Yeah,
should we change our name or what?
Well, Viper Club is not a comedy band, but they are a good band.
I know. I just mean that they're very funny, internet savvy guys with similar energy. Okay.
Yes, and because Viper Club also has a pretty big TikToker, Jack Vanderpaal.
Yes, that's why I bring it up. Well. Very similar sensibilities.
All right.
Yes.
Viper Club.
So, but yeah, I just like that. I have yet to meet a comedy musician who's just like, who seems like standoffish and, you know, like kind of like, fuck you, everyone.
Yeah.
Seems,
well, it's such a niche outsider thing that I think it's like, if we don't stick together, then we won't survive. It's just such a, you know, you have to, I think, you know, love what this is so much. And then because you do, when you meet someone else that loves it so much, it's instantly like, oh my God, you like this weird thing too? Thank God.
That loves it and gets it and cares as much as you do about this thing, like NSP and like, you know, so many of these other bands that we admire do. They take it so seriously. Yeah. They take the dumbest shit possible as seriously as you can. And that is the fun part.
That's right.
I also think it's part of the lineage where, you know, we've been fortunate enough to meet Tenacious D and Weird Al and the sort of elder statesman, if you will, of comedy music. And they are the nicest people.
Dr. Demento.
Yep. Dr. Demento as well. He like comes to our shows.
Oh, you guys got to meet Dr. Demento?
Dude, he comes to all of our shows if he can.
What?
And
oh, that's great.
He's just
the nicest guy
in the world. Yeah. So I think like, I think that's just like a thing that's passed down as well. Or it's just like, if you want to succeed in comedy music, you sort of have to be really nice as well.
Yeah. I've never met either of the D guys, but Al has been, you know, we've been in touch with him for years now, and he has been just the nicest person. I mean, I could not imagine, you know, the never meet your heroes thing you hear all the time. Of course, obviously, I was a huge Weird Al fan as a kid, and I am a huge Weird Al fan to this day. And I literally could not imagine a nicer or kinder person.
Love to hear that.
Do you want his email? I'll say it out loud.
Who else were comedy wise? Like who were big to you guys growing up?
I remember Stephen Lynch at the same time that I discovered Weird Al. I remember listening to him and being like, "What is this? It's like so inappropriate, and it's funny, and it's weird, and it's like I didn't know that was possible." But mm-hmm. You do mean like music or comedy music stuff?
Either one. I mean, music for sure, but just in general, yeah.
What else for you guys? I mean, the D, obviously.
Yeah.
Tenacious D was big for me.
I mean, comedy adjacent, I'd say Beastie Boys was big. Blink-182.
Yep.
They were really funny.
Yeah, I liked Bare Naked Ladies also, which is like not comedy music, but close enough. And then...
Close enough.
Yeah, close enough. I mean, Norm Macdonald I loved so much. Mm-hmm. Chris Rock, you know.
Yeah, I watched a lot. I don't watch a lot of stand-up now, but when I was a kid, I watched a lot of stand-up. And so because, you know, I'm 49, so I was a teenager during like the comedy boom of the 80s when it was like all the people that, and I remember when Seinfeld was a stand-up. And watching one of his routines like over and over and over again with my parents and just thinking, this is the funniest fucking guy I've ever seen.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, before the show, before anything like that.
Yeah. Seinfeld's incredible. I know great. For all three of us, Sandler is another huge one. We all just loved his albums and stuff. That was one of the first CDs I had, actually. My cousin gave me a Sandler What the Hell Happened to Me album, and I was just like, okay, well, what is, like, this is possible?
So
what is the first CD that you ever bought?
The first CD I bought, I actually bought two because I was going on a trip and my dad let me pick two, and it was Will Smith's record, the first one,
not the DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince one, but his first Will Smith
solo one, which I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of right now, because it's not Willennium. It's the one before that.
Right. It's before that.
Big Willie Style. I got Big Willie Style, which is also, I would argue, comedy adjacent. And then I got a Savage Garden CD. So I got those two CDs at the same time. And then I think shortly after it was like Significant Other by Limp Bizkit and Dookie by Green Day.
Mm-hmm. Talking first albums?
First albums.
Yeah. First you bought with your own money.
All Killer No Filler by Sum 41.
Boom.
Fush you, Mang, Smash Mouth.
What now? We got to ask, because everyone's clamoring to know, what's that delivery?
It's merch. Bunch of merch that we have to roll up to take to the UK.
I was going to say, while we have time, let's talk about the tour.
Please.
So you guys actually have two different kind of things coming up in the near future. So first you got UK, or not just UK, but
Ireland as well.
A couple other places as well. Yeah.
Yes, if you live in Ireland, Scotland, or England, please come see us. It's very rare that we're over there. We've never been there before. We're very excited. We're opening for a band called Punk Rock Factory, which is incredible. They do punk rock covers of Disney songs and TV theme songs and stuff. It's really cool. And then we come back here and we have the Scorpion Train Tour, our headline tour across America for 5 weeks.
We start in San Francisco on November 6th, I believe, and we'll be out until December 13th. We're closing in L.A. at the El Rey Theater, all over the country. Nice. A bunch of shows we're super excited for. We're trying some stuff in this show that we have certainly never tried to do live. We're taking a lot of the elements from our first tour and just magnifying them and kind of heightening everything in a way that is really, really fun. We're very excited.
How, when you guys play live, how, what's the ratio of like song to fucking around with comedy stuff?
Yeah, it ranges, but I feel like if I had to put numbers to it, I want to go like 80-20, maybe 75.
So yeah, 70-30.
I would say 70-30, close. Music, 70-30 comedy.
Okay, yeah. 70-30 makes sense.
Yeah, that's about what we do too. Something like that.
Yeah.
Because the songs are relatively long, and then...
Yeah, they're the tent poles of the show.
Yeah.
Do you have plans for non-show stuff that you're excited to see while you're on this tour over across the pond or in the U.S.?
Oh, yeah.
Landmarks or places?
Stonehenge.
That would be great,
it's both
actually.
Of y'all's first time in Dublin, correct?
That's correct.
Oh, sorry, but speaking of Stonehenge, I did want to shout out Ilvis, which is another huge inspiration.
Absolutely.
Love them so much.
Yeah, that was, I mean, what... When The Fox came out, like, fuck. That was a real game changer.
That sent him.
I was hoping that their other songs would hit as hard, but it didn't happen in the mainstream. But I definitely, I know every song of theirs. But yeah, I mean, first time, yeah, I've never been to any of the cities that we're going to in the UK. I think we have a day off in Liverpool, which I was pretty psyched about.
I've never been to Dublin. We're going to go to Guinness Storehouse.
We're definitely going to do that.
It's worth it. It's fun.
Like, definitely worth it.
Beer is good. Go to the big jail, Kilmainham, is that what it's called? There's a big jail just outside of town that they filmed a billion different things at, including the big dance sequence at the end of Paddington 2, where they do the Sondheim song, you know, the listen
Ethan's
to
cool.
the rain on the roof, go pit, pit, a pat. That one,
yes.
That's filmed there. It's fucking cool.
I'm definitely, well, I'm always down to see a jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we like to do on our days off anyway.
We're big jail heads. I like to rip a bunch of cigs and go walk around a jail.
Visit the local prison.
Try to balance out our comedy show with a good jail.
Yeah. A good clink.
The Trinity College, the library there is dope. You know, it's like classic stuff. But the Guinness one is worth seeing.
And there's a great tiny jail in that library as well.
Right.
That
I heard is good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's
where
the book
student
thieves
jail.
Go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
And so you, what was the connection to Punk Rock Factory? Just, you know, reached out.
They just hit us up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. On DM.
I think they DM'd us.
They hit us up, and I think what they were first saying was, "We are listening to you guys on our tour." Right. Really dig the stuff, and you know, would you guys ever be, you know, interested in coming over here and opening for us? And we were like, absolutely.
They were like, oh bruv, your shit is absolutely mental, man.
We just kept going, what?
What?
Oh, that's sick, man.
We love to hit with you.
It's incredible.
It is so great. And I feel like I should do this more. Is just send emails to people I'm a fan of. Just be like, hey man, really like your stuff. It's awesome.
For sure.
Like, you don't expect it. You just want to reach out to another person who's doing something cool and be like, hey, you're great. And then some portion of the time they hit you back. They're like, well, I listen to your stuff and blah, blah, like this, you know.
It's never been easier to do that, especially with Instagram. If you're making stuff for Instagram, it's just like, just shoot a DM. Odds are you're right. If you're in the same space, then, you know, mutual fans.
People are cool for the most part. Like, I feel like I've sent a lot of cold emails and DMs, and 80% of the time people have a really nice thing to say and will respond like thoroughly and well, or they just won't respond.
Right. That's
right. You don't even know if it got to them.
Yeah. There's truly no harm in just saying, giving someone a compliment.
Except I did email Don Cheadle and he said, lose my fucking email.
Yeah.
Notorious. Notorious asshole. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you emailed him a lot.
Like, I email him every once a day.
Right. Well, you got to. I mean, if you're truly, the real fans know the best way to get in touch with somebody you like is to never stop emailing them.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. DonCheadle@gmail.com.
Right. Don Gmail.
Yeah, Don Gmail.
And then the U.S. tour is just kind of all over, right?
We're going all over. Yeah. We're driving. It's the first time that we're just getting into a van and driving the United States.
So you're doing van plus hotels.
Van plus hotels, occasional Airbnb. Yes.
Nice. Yes, we're going to the East Coast. We're going to Texas. We're going to Chicago. We're going to the Midwest. We're going. Yeah. It's
we're playing very exciting 9:30 Club in D.C., which is a venue we're a huge fans of.
Yeah, legendary.
Legendary venue.
And Bowery Ballroom, which is
in New York.
Oh, dude, I grew up with Bowery Ballroom for sure.
The Fillmore in Philadelphia, which is going to be very exciting.
Yeah, if literally anyone comes to these shows, it's going to be awesome.
That is one of the true joys of touring, is playing these venues, that especially when it's one you grew up going to, and then getting on that stage and like, oh, shit. Like on the last NSP tour, we played Irving Plaza.
Yes.
In New York, which is like, and we were there the day after, I think it was Smashing Pumpkins. And it's just like, what the fuck is, like, what? No, this doesn't make any sense. I saw shows here growing up. I can't be doing this.
And they still all had, like, the bits of pumpkin on the stage and stuff from when they smashed them.
You got to do a big cleanup.
Yeah,
clean it up.
In their rider, it says you can't clean up the stage after the show. The pumpkin just has to get swept off gradually.
It's Gallagher-esque.
You have to leave it until all the rats eat all that.
Are you guys back in the studio anytime soon?
No.
No, probably not until the new year, honestly, just because the tour is
constant touring. But I'm sure we'll be, like, writing while we're hanging. And we have a few new tunes and one very long tune that people will get to see on this tour.
But now I'm wondering, how do we sell our act to three other guys so that we can
Wolves of Glendale 2?
Oh, well, if I may.
Yes.
Holograms.
That's what Kiss does.
Excellent.
And
the
ABBA thing in England.
ABBA does it. Kiss does it. We, like, it, you know, it's to say that we explored it would be too... it would be incorrect, but someone once proposed it to us as a thing we should
be
doing.
That would be incredible.
Whoa.
Yeah, like a hologram.
Well, but, I mean,
I've never seen any of these, but I hear the ABBA one is amazing.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I believe it.
We're not going to have time to see it probably, but I would love to see that at some point in my life. I'm saying I have a brother. Tom has a brother. You have a sister. Wolves of Glendale too.
My brother's a lot stronger than me too, and he knows how to play rugby, which is like immediate positive.
Oh, that's a huge positive.
You know?
So has hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, and he's a doctor.
Do you know this thing about the zombies? Do you know what I'm about to say? So the zombies,
the band,
famous band. Apparently, so they're British, right? After I think they broke up or whatever in the 60s, and then some guy in Texas was like, "Well, I'm just going to tour a band and tell everybody they're the zombies," and starts touring this band as the zombies in like the late 60s. They tour as the zombies. I believe someone else does the same thing at the same time. This never gets back. And the crazy part is this version of the zombies releases two guys from ZZ Top are in it, first of all.
There were only three guys in ZZ Top.
Most of ZZ Top was in the knockoff zombies.
Of ZZ Top.
Yeah, so Dusty, I forget the
Rusty.
Other ZZ Top.
No, Dusty and Rusty.
Dusty Hill.
So they tour as the zombies, and also, I believe, release a hit song and credited to the zombies. Yeah, look it up. I may be getting some of the details wrong, but I think that's
I want
right.
to see a movie about this. That's cool.
There is a podcast that I haven't listened to currently at about this. It's called something like The True Story of the Fake Zombies. And it's like, I guess it's like kind of a known thing that some enterprising dude in Texas in the 60s was like, I won't know the difference. You know,
there's money to make here.
I can be the zombies myself.
Yeah, I could be in the zombies.
What do I give a shit?
But that would be, I think, so my point is you should get another band that tours just as Wolves of Glendale, tour at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
Or we never have to tour. We just hang out, watch movies.
That's right.
Eat popcorn, eat chocolate.
Yeah.
Somebody else tours.
Just cash them checks. That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We pay them way lower.
Don't pay them. They'll do it for free.
They'll do it for
free. They're fans.
Yeah. Exposure.
That's right. Yeah.
Exposure.
It's a, a good philosophy is to see how much free shit you can con out of people.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Well said, Brian.
If there's one thing we took from this podcast, it's
con
that.
People. Yeah.
On your way to the top.
That's right. You heard it from Ninja Brian himself. Get right. Shit for free.
Lie.
Right.
Constantly lie.
I have an important last question, which is okay. What's the best flavor of popcorners?
Oh, there we go.
That's easy.
There's only one answer, Layton.
And I think you know what it is.
I've never go had ahead. Popcorners.
Oh, okay.
Kettle corn is the answer.
It's okay. Kettle corn, and whatever second is not close.
Red
and
bag.
Here's the thing, though. All the other flavors are good.
Yeah, you can't miss, actually.
What are
purple bag, cinnamon,
yeah, what
sugar,
are the
pretty
flavors?
Good.
Yeah, hit us.
I like the, I think they have a sour cream and onion one. I'm always a fan of that flavor, kind of just universally, but the pop.
There's a queso one.
The queso one.
Orange bag, queso flavor, red bag, kettle corn, purple bag, cinnamon, sugar.
Blue bag,
green
salt.
Green bag, sour cream, blue bag, salt. Correct.
Are you familiar, this is something I only learned about once I started dating and then married a Midwesterner, Chicago mix. Do you know what this is?
No, tell us.
But I love Chicago.
It is
yeah, we love Chicago.
A mix of popcorn, which is regular butter, cheese, cheddar cheese, and caramel popcorn, all
I do
mixed
know about
into
this, yes.
one thing.
I didn't know that it was called that, but I remember seeing those tubs
right.
of all three.
Yes.
When I was young and being given the worst food.
Yes. Yeah. There was a store in Florida called Pop's Corn.
Okay.
That sold Chicago style.
That's awesome.
Popcorn buckets.
That's cool.
Yep.
That I remember they would give it to us at school.
We're going to be having that in Chicago when we played the Outset.
Oh, nice. I think it may have been that term may have been invented by the store Candyland in St. Paul, but I could be wrong.
So is that Candyland doing like the board game? It's doing the zombies.
Yep.
But,
yes.
You know, for the board
yeah,
game.
That's exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, for the board game.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you guys got to go, but this was awesome.
I wish we could stay. This is very fun.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I meant to tell you, actually. So we did a little live stream yesterday and just leaked to the people on the stream that you guys would be on the show. And the number of people that were like, holy shit, Wolves of Glendale, what?
Really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
That's
I meant to
hilarious.
Take a screenshot and I forgot. But am I wrong, Layton? Did you see this, the reaction? The chat?
I did see it. And I think especially for the concentrated small audience that the stream had, that's particularly impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Incredible.
That's awesome.
That's very
well,
cool.
Thank you to them for being kind.
Well, and thank you guys for being generous with your time and hanging out with us. It's a joy to meet you, and I would like to come see you guys when you're in town.
Please.
You're not allowed, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, you won't be allowed in Delray at all.
They
but
do have
that's
a very
cool
strict
say.
No girls allowed policy, unfortunately, at
yeah.
their show.
Yeah, yeah. Right. No girls at our concert.
No girls allowed tour.
Yeah.
So, actually, that is a really, really funny tour. I like that tour idea. I had a proposal for NSP, which was rejected. I have a partner in NSP who doesn't like fun or funny things, unfortunately. Nevertheless, the band survives. My proposal for a tour was the House Lights On tour. And you never turn off the house lights the whole time.
House Lights,
that's
on.
Funny,
house lights
dude.
On tour.
I will say, I recently watched a video of Prince at the Staples Center. House Lights On.
The whole time?
The whole time. 12 million views. One of the greatest things I've ever.
Wow. I got to see that.
Limp Bizkit does that at the end of their shows, too. So anything's possible. Mm-hmm.
True. And sometimes I'll even watch videos of Space Mountain on ride
oh,
videos
dude,
with the lights on.
I definitely
and it's cool.
watch those. I can't do roller coasters, but I love watching the videos, and especially when you can see all the infrastructure.
My girlfriend's looking
why
at me like disgusted.
Why are you both watching this?
Yeah.
Because they're cool.
Eric's single now.
Because they're cool. All right.
Yeah, guys, new. I have news.
Update.
Eric got broken up with on the podcast.
On the podcast.
Where? So when people want to come see you on tour, where do they go? What's the website?
Wolvesofglendale.com.
You'll
live
see
shows.
Tour live dates at the top.
It's all there. Wolvesofglendale.com for all your needs. Even if you just want to like buy a gift for a friend, or if you want to like, you know, buy tickets to the movies or something, wolvesofglendale.com.
That's great. Yeah.
If you want to like check like Yahoo Finance, it all links to there.
Yeah, so. Everything links to there. That's your home base.
Right. If you want us to invest your money, you can just PayPal us through a link on the site and we'll put it wherever we
or
want.
Or if you
want
to design your own website, right? Like maybe you have a business idea.
Go to squarespace.com and when you're ready to launch, go for 10% off.
Wolvesofglendale.com.
It's still active, and I did check. About 10 years ago, I bought the website buttsex.info, which links now to the NSP page.
Oh,
the active thing, I pay like $15 a year for buttsex.info. That just goes straight
smart.
To the NSP YouTube
smart
page.
Smart man, Brian.
Yeah, really smart.
Really
now
good
you can
move.
Put that on business card.
That's what I do.
Well, Everyone, thank you for listening to this show.
I want to talk to you for a minute, Leighton. Let's just hang back. Oh. These guys got to go, but we can do a little.
Well, no. I wanted to say before they leave, for the Patreon, where you can watch a video version of this episode as well as access weekly minisodes, you can go to wolvesofglendale.com.
Yeah, perfect.
Yes, and if you want to send a Venmo transaction of any kind to a friend of yours, a family member, you can go to wolvesofglendale.com.
And maybe you're jealous of Leighton's awesome gaming chair and you want one for yourself. You can get the exact replica at wolvesofglendale.com.
Is that, wait, hold on, is that a Cyberpunk
it is a
gaming chair?
It's a Cyberpunk 2077.
Dude, boom. That is cool as
love
hell.
That.
Are you a Cyberpunk
cold
guy?
As ice.
Leighton is like a super Cyberpunk person.
I have Cyberpunk on my Steam Deck right now,
dude,
and I haven't touched it yet.
A, Steam Deck rules. B, enjoy the shit out of that game. It's the best.
Okay. Fuck yeah. Well, we're about to go on tour. Maybe that's where I'll spend all of my time, even during the show.
That's the way.
Hell yeah.
Cool. All right.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, guys.
Very fun. Thank you, guys.
Right.
Bye, guys.
Guys
take
rule.
It easy. Thanks.
Bye.
Are we still in the episode?
I think we're still in the episode because I don't know. Do you want to talk about any segments or anything?
As I told you when we got on this call, I didn't prepare segments because we recorded.
Well, that's
yesterday.
Why I want to do them, right?
And I blew my segment load yesterday.
Now see, Leighton, you really paint a picture with words.
I know.
Yep.
I know. That's my job. That's what I do professionally.
You blew a load of segment all over.
Yeah. I did. In the time since we've recorded yesterday, I have pretty much, after we finished recording, I took off my makeup and I played Dead by Daylight. And then I did that until like midnight with a little bit of, you know, parallel gaming on a Discord call with Aaron and Susie. And then I woke up this morning and I drank coffee and I played Dead by Daylight. And then I got on this call to record this episode. So you know, it's an exciting, glamorous life that we lead here.
It's a gamer lifestyle.
It is a gamer lifestyle. Indeed. In my sweet Cyberpunk gaming chair from Secret Lab.
I want you, now we mentioned this before, can you look at our gamer Discord and describe the image that I uploaded there?
This is what we've stooped to, is scrubbing your content from the
I like this image a lot because I feel like it has everything that I could possibly want in it.
It really, like, if someone told me that this was made as a meme, it would feel too on the nose, but it's the fact that it's real. So the image that we're looking at, it's a black screen. At the very top, all caps. I don't know how to also convey the like color coding here because it's an important part of this. But the top line, the headline here is too dark equals fingers too wet.
And two is like a sky blue.
Yes.
Dark is yellow, like a bumblebee yellow, I would say.
As a cyberpunk chair yellow.
Yes, indeed. Equals might be yellow or might be a little orange from the...
It's
a little orange, right? Fingers is once again sky blue. And then too wet is back to bumblebee yellow, cyberpunk yellow.
Yeah, and then the rest of the image, I think most prominently, is a hand in black and white. And I guess I'm not in the right orientation of the camera, but imagine if my hand was...
It's a right hand
turned
coming
the
down.
Other way, but it's in black and white.
Yep.
Nothing else in the image is in black and white.
Nope.
It is glistening, and then off of the pinky, there is little drop of
That's
liquid.
That's a wet hand. It's so wet. Oh, look how wet it is.
And that hand is reaching down for a very abnormally small box of Kleenex.
It's about to... Well, is it reaching for the Kleenex, or is it just...
Gesturing towards the Kleenex?
Or it looks like it's about to cup something with its wetness. It's like, this hand is wet. And I'm going to say this hand looks relatively masculine. So let's say it's a dude hand, maybe. Hard to tell. But
yeah.
I'm getting a kind of masculine vibe from this hand, from this wet, wet hand. So whatever this guy was doing to get his hand wet, I don't want to know. It's actually none of my business. And I wouldn't even ask. Even if I met this guy, I wouldn't shake his hand because I don't want to get my hand that wet. But I'm interested what this person did to get their hand so wet. But right. Who knows? But I think this hand, this wet hand, is coming down from heaven. Maybe it's even the hand of God coming down wetly from heaven, dripping moisture slash life all over the surface of the earth. And it's moving towards a box of tissues for sure.
Yeah, and there are also two additional figures in this photo. So on the left side...
What are their names?
On the left side, we have the silhouette of a young woman, I suppose, sort of in the style of one of those optical illusions where it's like, ooh, this way she's mm-hmm. an old lady. The other way she's a young woman. But with the label, again in sky blue, all caps, applicant.
Applicant.
Then on the other side, in a completely different style.
Do you know
style,
what, actually, this woman, do you know who she reminds me of?
Who?
Patty Harrison. Can you
yes.
see it? You're
I
getting
can
a
see
Patty
it.
Harrison vibe from this woman.
Yeah, I mean, I think that vibe has to do with the general tone and word choice of this image as well is causing
I think that
Patty
doesn't
Harrison
hurt.
Connotation.
Yes, right.
Anyway, on the other side of the image is in a completely different style of clip art. Is like a Windows XP little guy. He doesn't have a face or features. He could really be anybody. Mm-hmm. And he's got a tie on. And then a JPEG of a laptop. He's holding
yes.
it. So
and
in
what's
this
his name?
World, in this world, the man has no features, but the laptop is hyper-realistic, which, mm-hmm. you know, speaks to the world building here. Anyway, this guy's name is Operator.
Mm-hmm. And he's wearing what can only be described as a Donald Trump suit.
I would go for a blue shirt with an upside down exclamation mark.
Oh,
as a
you
tie.
Know what? That does look like that, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. That's
yeah.
not what ties look like.
And so I have to go get fingerprinted as part of a if I want to
Brian violated
at
his
school.
Parole again.
Well, how can you not? It's just so fun. Like, right. I don't even have any reason to violate it. I like the idea of being a parole violator. Mm-hmm. So I have to
you
go
like
get
the way that the monitor flatters your ankles.
It feels great, Layden. Not only mm-hmm. does it look good, it feels good too. And it's good for me.
There's something about every time that you turn into something into like, and it's good for me. Really gets me. You've done it multiple times on this show.
It's a go-to that I really like. So this image, I had to make an appointment to get fingerprinted, and part of the application process was filling out this web form. Watch this video, and you cannot get to the end of the web form unless you have watched the entire video. Like the next button is grayed out until you get to the end of this video. So I had to watch guess how long this video was to describe how to get fingerprinted. That was mandatory to watch.
7 minutes.
Thankfully not. It was only four, but still.
That's excessive. 30 seconds max. Come on.
And by the way, all this information is repeated in text later on in the, and it's literally like, put your fingers on the screen. That's it. By the way, your fingers can also be too dry for this machine. There's a crucial moisture window mm-hmm. that you have to abide within. So fingers too dry. Can you guess what the advice is if your fingers are too dry? And you're not going to like it.
Do you lick them?
I mean, a gentleman never kisses and tells. No, you're supposed to lotion them. If your fingers are too dry, you're supposed to apply lotion. Is that lotion provided? I don't know. Luckily, I bring mine everywhere
I can't believe they
go.
Didn't put the lotion in this image. I mean, it really would have completed the
It's not
the
dripping
tableau.
Lotion. I don't know what that substance is, but it ain't lotion. Lotion ain't clear
no,
like that.
No, it certainly isn't. No, it's not. Yeah,
I know. I know from lotion.
The last time that I had to get fingerprinted, I was not super thrilled about that. I actually believe that we didn't use lotion, it was hand sanitizer, because this was like peak COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one way to get your hands wet.
But you know, that's why I burned off all of my fingerprints afterwards, because what are they gonna do about that?
Government ain't gonna trace you no more. That's true.
Yeah, next the teeth are going next. Like, come on, good luck.
Are you gonna replace them with like new teeth or dentures? And where will you get the teeth?
That's a good question. I think that I might get like some like rib teeth.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Know.
Yeah, get some side choppers.
Just some side choppers, yeah.
I like
doing a little masticating with my side. I'll just sidle up to a table and, you know, like at a party, here's the buffet. And then
I got in trouble for public mastication once.
Well, yeah, that's why you got to get your fingers pricked in.
That's why I can't go to the library anymore. All right. I think that's probably, now that we got that.
The very important information out of the way, that you extended the episode just so we could talk about this image.
Do you have anything? We didn't do segments. We didn't do
What's I have poppin'. Nothing.
We didn't do peaches. I prepared because I'm responsible.
I'm obviously not. And I'll own that. What's behind this screen? Parole violations.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. Well, this was a fun episode. Atypical, but you know,
that's us, baby.
That's right. That once you fall into a rhythm, what you have to do is defy expectations in order to keep people on their toes. But I am thrilled we had Wolves of Glendale on. I am a genuine fan of those guys. I love, you know,
we've been trying to do this for years now, huh?
Yeah, I mentioned them a while back, and I saw other, you know, people on the Discord mentioning them, and I'm glad it happened. And please, I'm going to try to go see this show in LA in December. And I encourage everyone to go see them as well, because I bet they're amazing live, and I will be able to tell you that they are when I see them in December.
Amazing.
So get those tickets at buttsex.info now.
Excellent.
Wait, I can't do that to them. I can't do them dirty like that. It's wolvesofglendale.com.
Right. And for all of your late night needs, wolvesofglendale.com.
Yeah, indeed.
See you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Late Night is produced by Brian Wecht and Leighton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LeightonNight. Follow us on Twitter at @LeightonNight, on Instagram at @Leighton_Night, or email us at LeightonNight@gmail.com.